Good morning, 7:05 on a Sunday morning. Good morning, me, my Community Plan Foundation. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell Ailey Kenna Johnson. It's good to be back in the studio. Those of you who've missed me, I hope y'all missed me just a little bit. I mean, I want to thank God for my family in Philadelphia, Stephen Antonio Pena Sr. He's listening. He's the chairperson of my Community Plan Foundation. Mr. P, everyone calls him. I'm just a young boy. You know, that's how that goes sometimes. Hey, listen, we want to put our hearts and prayers right now out to Cook County Clerk Cook County Clerk Karen Yarbrough and the family. We understand that County Clerk Yarbrough is going through some health challenges. So do me a favor. Now all you all, I don't want you praying because you be them pre-R-E-Y people, but I want them prayer warriors. You know, Sheila Bevel. I want them prayer warriors like Yvonne Just Can't Do Enough out of Hillcrest Baptist Church. I want them prayer warriors, Bishop Lance Davis. I need them prayer warriors, Bishop. Let me get Bishop Kenneth Franklin, Apostle Kenneth Franklin. I need Pastor Adrian Robinson. I need you to be on your knees praying to the God we serve, the healer, on behalf of Karen Yarbrough and that family. Hey, listen, I'm not going to do a whole lot of intro stuff because I've got someone on the line you all need to know about. His name is Hill Harper. You may think about him as a actor and performer, but he is taking his skills to a whole nother level. As some of you all say, he is going to where his voice, our voice, will be heard. Why don't you go and clap your hands for Hill Harper. Mr. Harper.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Sunday morning.
Happy Sunday morning it is. Man, it's good to hear your voice. Could you do me one favor, please, and tell our listening and some of our viewing audience why it is that you are joining us bright and early on a Sunday morning?
Well, good morning. You know, first of all, I just want to say this because it's on my heart, and that is when I went to Los Angeles many years ago, the beginning of my career, and it was starting to move. I left Harvard Law School and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government when I graduated and went to New York and then eventually to Los Angeles. A good friend of mine, Jeffrey Anderson Gunter, took me to First AME Church in Los Angeles. And I met a man by the name of Reverend Pastor Cecil L. Murray there, and he exuded so much love and kindness to me. And in fact, he took me under his wing, and I became a mentee, and he told me to join the usher board and put the white gloves on and get yelled at by people because I was hitting them in the wrong pew, and they wanted to be at the other thing. And he said, you have to humble yourself to serve the congregation.
Facts.
And he passed on at 94 years old on yesterday, and he meant so much to me because he showed me what true love is and what living life as the Lord lives and loves everybody. You know, he had a homeless ministry. He had, you know, I mean, it's just incredible. A returning citizens ministry. And maybe one of the reasons why I wrote my books about the mass incarceration crisis is my book, Letters from Incarcerated Brothers, because of him. He's just a giant among men, and I just wanted to shout that out. But, you know, I'm running for United States Senate here in Michigan, and it is a Herculean task without question because, as many of us know, the politics is a very difficult waters because there's so much corruption. There's so much backdoor deals and all sorts of things. And the good thing is I won't be bought. I won't be lost. I won't be bullied. I don't know any party, any favor, anything. I'm running as a Democrat in this primary, and it's a very late primary, August 6th. And this is a critical time. It literally is, as far as our representation is concerned. And folks have to know, no matter where you live, every senator is going to pass things federally that are going to impact you where you are. If I'm able to get universal health care passed, including mental health and dental health and eye health, that's going to impact you. If I'm able to get the PRO Act passed, which is undergirding unions and collective bargaining and living wage, that's going to impact. We can raise the minimum federal minimum wage. If I'm able to get a pathway to federal expungements. There are too many of our folks who are sitting in prison right now on nonviolent drug many drug offenses that need to be out. They could be productive citizens. They've served their time. And there's no federal pathway to for expungements, et cetera. So we have to understand that a U.S. sentencing, although I'm running in Michigan, impacts everyone, no matter where they are, no matter where you're listening to my voice.
You know, it's interesting that I'm so pleased you made that point. And it bears repeating, because some of the questions here in Chicagoland and around the country for all of you progressives who are listening, if you're self-identified as progressive, you might understand the role of the United States Senator. But average John and Jane Doe just do not. They don't understand how one senator impacts every facet of your life all of the time.
Yeah, and you know what, Reverend, I'll break it down as simple as I can. The U.S. Senate, people want to overcome it. It does two things primarily. Number one, it confirms lifetime appointments of federal judges. So whoever the federal judges that are making decisions about individuals' lives and legislation, they confirm those people. And number two, those 100 people decide where $7 trillion dollars annually go. That's the United States budget. That is your, everyone who's listening to my voice, it's your money, your taxpaying dollars. 100 people decide how that money is distributed. At Harvard Law School, my constitutional law professor would always tell me that the U.S. Senate was the most powerful body, and people try to think about the presidency and the executive branch, but he said, no. The Supreme Court or the judicial branch decides on the constitutionality of what the Senate passes. The executive branch or the president either vetoes or signs into the law what the Senate passes. The House of Representatives or your congressional, those individuals in your state that varies per state based off of population, create a bill, and they send it to the Senate. Those 100 senators can amend it, change it, add things to it, and ultimately they decide where all that money goes. If you want your taxpaying dollars to fund foreign violence versus funding public education, those 100 people make that decision.
There you go.
If you want your money to go to giving tax breaks to big corporations like big oil, big pharma, versus actually supporting universal health care, then those 100 people make that decision. And so those 100 people impact your life in ways that are incredibly important, and folks have to understand how important this U.S. Senate, every U.S. Senate seat is.
It was interesting. So I know you don't have a lot of time, and I want to respect your time. I know you've got an entire state to cover, and we appreciate you. So here's what I want to do. I'd like you to do two things. Number one, how can people get more information about your candidacy? Yes, let's start with that.
Sure. So please, please, please go to hillharper.com. That's www.hillharper.com. Go onto the website, and if you can find it in your heart, donate $2, $5, $10. We're hiring organizers all across the state of Michigan right now. We're doing a complete field operation to cover the entire state, and we have to, with a grassroots candidacy like ours, every single dollar matters. Why? Because opening the offices, creating the literature, hiring the young people and the organizers across the state, it's an incredible, incredibly expensive seat. But the beautiful thing, this is an open U.S. Senate seat. It's unprecedented. There's only been 12 black U.S. senators in the history of this country. There's been a higher percentage of black presidents in the U.S. than black senators, right? It's we can do it, though. And Illinois has proven, because actually two of those 12 were from Illinois.
Absolutely.
You all have proven that you can make it work and you can make it happen. And so we need your leadership and we need your help. And this seat has to be a national seat. It has to be considered that. And so please go to the website, hillharper.com, and support if you can. Learn more. If you know folks in Michigan, please call them, get them involved in the campaign, encourage them to sign up, to volunteer, to help, to knock doors, to phone bank, to text bank. The primary is August 6th. And that's the other thing, Rep. Many of us don't even know what a primary is, and that voting in the primary is actually more important than the general.
Absolutely. But I got to tell you what, we know how to get it done here in Chicago, and that is why I had to have your voice on the airways. Want to let you all know, music in the background tells us it's time to take a pause for the cause. We grabbed candidate Harper that he might make sure all of you in Chicago get up, step up, and go on and do what we do, let's do that which we can to help get the brother elected. How can you do that? Go to hillharper.com. Hillharper.com. Now, listen, later on in the show and this evening, we're going to be talking about a little, you know, how can we act blue for Hill Harper? I said it, act blue for Hill Harper. Brother, thank you so much for joining us. This is the Appreciate My Community Plan Foundation Hour. Oh, man, God bless you. Say it one more time.
God bless everybody.
We're so happy that the candidate stopped to give us a couple minutes of his time. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. We'll be right back after this short station break.
It all starts with one meal. One cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's Z-A-K-A-T.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. This is your host, Reverend Mitchell L.E. Kenner Johnson. Hey, listen, y'all, there's a reason why we had to have Brother Harper on the line. A lot of you remember him from his days on the big screen, little screen. The brother has chosen to do that which is a yeoman's job, and that's stand up in the state of Michigan to contend for the United States Senate. And it's my hope. I'm going to talk now to the Pan Nine. I'm talking to the Divine Nine. The Divine Nine, that would include Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Specifically, Andre Ashmore Jr., I know your daddy listening. I'm talking to you now. I'm going to need you all to organize yourselves to go ahead and step up, stand up, and do a fundraiser for Hill Harper. If you started Andre Ashmore Jr., we will come behind you and support you. We need everybody. I'm talking about AKA, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. You all talking about, you know, you brothers and sisters, and you ain't doing it like the Sigmas and the Zetas constitutionally aligned. But I ain't mad at you right now. Forget the differences and let's come together and make sure this brother has enough finances to be in the race and then to take his rightful seat in the United States Senate. At the end of the day, what you all gotta know, now this is progressive radio, let's talk about progressive politics. Those are inclusive politics. Merely because the brother is who he is does not mean he's going to exclude anyone. No. You know, the Big Ten is the best ten. Now, come on out here now and go to hillharper.com. 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 Make your contribution. Tell them the Red sent you and then give them an extra $100. Did I say that? I did, didn't I? In queue, we have my good friend from Washington, D.C. He is a shadow senator from Washington, D.C. Sean Tenner, turn me on to this brother. You're going to love him. Paul Strauss, Senator Strauss, welcome to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour, sir.
Good morning, Reverend. Great to be with you today.
Man, it's my pleasure. What is new and improved? By the way, I'm hoping you heard Hill Harper.
I did. I know him. We have a good friend in common, Richard Schiff, who was very politically active on great causes. Richard was on Good Doctor with him. He was on West Wing before. And Richard's been part of our statehood campaign. And we are excited and expecting that when he makes it, that we can count on Senator Harper to be one of our big supporters of our D.C. statehood bill in the United States Senate.
Now, one thing I love, ladies and gentlemen, about Senator Strauss is he'll answer your question and then segue into what he want to talk about, just in case you didn't know. Let's talk about D.C. statehood, please, sir.
Well, if you're talking about increasing diversity and diverse representation in the United States Senate, there's a simple and constitutional way to add two more Senate seats that represent urban communities in America, and that would be so important. The United States Senate is so disproportionate to how we represent the country. 52% of the senators represent only 26% of the entire U.S. population. And that's really some very simple math, but I'll go through it quick. If you take these smallest states, and every one of those small states has the same number of two U.S. senators, is the big states like California, New York, or Texas, or Illinois, of course, and you add up those first 26, you get to 52 pretty easy. But they only include a very, very small percentage of the population. And at the time of our country's founding, it was acknowledged and understood that that would be the case. But the growth of population in major centers, our urban areas, our metropolitan areas, I don't think even the framers could have foreseen that. And of course, they had some very narrow views on a few issues anyway. And so it's become so this is something that we need to do. Obviously, you need to take advantage when a seat comes up in an existing state like Michigan. But this country hasn't grown in a while. And so you have D.C., which is a jurisdiction where the majority of the population happens to be non-white, but they're not given the privileges of a state. And, you know, there's other territories we could talk about. Puerto Rico, majority non-white territory, not a state. Virgin Islands, majority non-white territory, not a state. Guam, American Samoa, Marianas Islands, you know, majority non-white territories, indigenous populations, they're not a state. And all of these majority non-white territories don't have voting representation in the Congress. They have these non-voting representatives. They have delegates in the House, D.C., Puerto Rico elect shadow senators. And of course, Reverend Jackson, who a lot of people forget was D.C.'s first elected shadow senator. We're working to try and change that debate and help expand our democracy.
So two questions for you. Number one, why is it then that there is a pushback on representation in the United States Senate for Washington, D.C.?
Well, there's some people from one particular party that are concerned that once we get voting representation, that we're not necessarily going to go vote their way. And they're probably right. I mean, I don't necessarily like the way that the two elected U.S. senators from Alabama regularly vote, but I'm not out here trying to advocate kicking Alabama out of the Senate. But you have folks who worry which way D.C. senators are going to be voting on national issues. And remember, we're close to those 50-50 ties, so it could make the difference in a lot of these national issues. And they don't want to see those vote numbers change. Every side in the Senate is fighting to protect their narrow coalition. And D.C. would add towards a progressive coalition on urban issues. And there are people who are neither progressives, neither urban, not democratic. And I'm really talking about the small d democracy. They cling to these institutions that counter the popular will, like the Electoral College and so forth. They maintain a grip on power that they wouldn't have if every vote was counted and every vote was equal.
So here's the question. Attorney General Paxton in April of 2021 suggested the founding fathers explicitly set aside a federal district to serve as a seat of government, and it was never intended to operate as a state, and for good reason. What is the allegedly good reason Washington, D.C. was never meant to operate as a state?
Well, I guess the allegedly good reason is that the federal government needed to control its territory free from the influences of other states. And if you accept that argument, that's fine. Our bill for D.C. statehood does not abolish the seat of the federal government. We simply shrink it. You know, at one time, the area was largely uninhabited. There were a couple of small cities. There was Georgetown, there was Alexandria, and this new city of Washington was largely built on not densely populated land. But
so hold on, slow down. You just suggested that the community we know as Georgetown was its own city.
Georgetown was its own city, founded before the United States was a nation. Alexandria was founded in 1746, Georgetown in 1789. And then Washington was going to be the third city that was created to be the seat of the national government. And those 400 square miles, or as the Constitution calls it, not to exceed 10 miles square, was this exact square shape, arranged like a diamond, that was the original seat of government. Now, in 1846, the Virginia portion was retroceded back to the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the district was shrunk. Now, there's an unfortunate history behind that, but it set up a clear precedent that you can make the seat of government smaller. You just can't make it bigger than that original 100 miles. And so what we want to do is we want to shrink the national seat of government to that part of D.C. that's exclusively federal, the Mall, the White House, the Smithsonian areas, certain defense things. So when you come to D.C. and you visit and you go to what will be the new seat of government, we call it now, by the way, the National Capital Service Area. There is a distinct jurisdictional boundary between federal Washington, that is to say, which government agency pays to have the trash picked up, which police officers patrol, which laws are enforced, you know, and that's important, by the way. If you're visiting D.C., it's true that we have legalized recreational marijuana use, but if you are in federal Washington, D.C., the federal police will still patrol. So if you're going to enjoy war, be careful what part of town you're in, because federal Washington will continue to remain under federal control. But residential Washington remains under federal control. And that's proven to be terrible for the people of Washington. And frankly, it's not that great a deal for the federal government either, because they have to waste a lot of time doing things that federal officials shouldn't be doing. Confirming judges to our local family court system, for example. You know, who sits in divorce court in Washington, D.C.? Not a federal issue. And yet we have to waste a lot of time of members of Congress who do a terrible job of it. And we have high vacancies. It has a toll on our judiciary system. So we need to fix that. D.C. statehood is not just about restoring political equality at the federal level to the residents of Washington, D.C., but it's really about advancing self-determination locally for the people of Washington, D.C. Two problems that would be solved with one action, which is D.C. statehood.
You know, what's interesting is this nation was created on the notion, in part, of taxation without representation is tyranny. It would sound like the good folk of Washington, D.C. are being taxed like every other person in the country, but they have no representation as to what happens to the money they're paying.
Yes, and that includes the locally raised dollars that we raise to our local government as well. We do have an elected local government, the Council of the District of Columbia. We have an elected executive who's called a mayor, but they don't have the control to finalize the city's budget. Congress can change it. And so when Congress decides that we're not spending enough on police and spending too much on schools, they can switch our budget priorities around.
Senator, hold on. Here's what I understand. Music in the background tells us it's time to take a pause for the cause. I got to pay the bills around here as well. On the phone, United States Senator from the District of Columbia, my good friend Paul Strauss, will be with us right after this station break.
It all starts with one meal. One cup of fresh water, one generous person. Saccott Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's Z-A-K-A-T.org.
Hello, this is Karen Carruthers, my Community Plan Foundation nutritionist, coming to you today on this awesome Sunday with your generational health tip. I'd like to talk to you about the benefits of eating oatmeal. Oatmeal is naturally and nutritionally rich. It has more protein than most grains, and it also has numerous vitamins and minerals. It contains antioxidants and soluble fiber. And that soluble fiber aids in promoting regular emptying of the bowel and prevents constipation. Also, there's so many different varieties and different ways that you can make oatmeal cookies. You can cook your oatmeal for breakfast in the morning. You can sprinkle a few oats in your morning smoothie. And also make sure you're getting in plenty of water and exercise as well as rest on a daily basis. This is Karen Carruthers, my Community Plan Foundation nutritionist. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
To the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. We have with us United States Shadow Senator from Washington, D.C. His name is Paul Eric Strauss. Senator Strauss, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, my good brother. And thank you again for getting up not quite so early as everybody else in Eastern Standard Time, but early enough. Yeah, let that happen the way it is. So tell us again, let's go back to this whole conversation about D.C. statehood. And if you would, please, how could this conversation make it to the platform of the Democratic National Convention coming up here in Chicago?
Well, we are excited about the upcoming convention in Chicago because the Democratic Party recognizes D.C. statehood as an issue. D.C. statehood platform planks have been in the Democratic Party's platform for many years now, and we expect to get them in this year when the delegates vote. And, of course, I'm always excited to be there because under the rules of the party convention, I'm recognized finally as a full-voting U.S. senator. So I can vote on the floor as a superdelegate at the national convention. I can't vote on the floor of the United States Senate. So as someone that gets voted for by his constituents and then doesn't get to vote on their behalf too often, it's always exciting for me to finally be able to do that, and I'll be able to do that this summer in Chicago.
But you do. Hold on, I'm sorry. But you do get to vote in committee, though.
Now, the delegates in the House get to vote in committees. My relationship to the Senate committees is very different. It's determined by each individual committee. And interestingly enough, one of the things that we've done successfully is there used to be separate committees on the District of Columbia in the United States Senate, separate subcommittees, and we have gotten rid of them. The Senate retains its jurisdiction, but they've been folded into bigger committees. And interestingly enough, I have acted to reduce my role because as these committees go and there's no separate D.C. committee, there's less interaction that the Senate is willing to engage with, particularly in a Republican majority thing. Leader McConnell, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, has been a big opponent of D.C. statehood. He sees it as a threat to his potential majority. Now that there is going to be new leadership on that side, we hope we might have a better relationship. But given the state of this Republican Party, I'm not expecting it. We will have to see. And, of course, we have a tough map to
maintain our narrow majority. We're hopeful that would happen. We also need to retake the House, obviously. We got to get the vote out. So D.C. statehood and its politics are tied very much to the national conversation and the national agenda. But all of the work that we can do when we come to Chicago as a party, as a people, is going to be important. And we're going to be counting on our friends in Chicago, not just to make us feel welcome, but to join us and get engaged in this struggle.
So, yes, we will absolutely do our darndest to make you feel welcome. Not quite as welcome as you felt at Sean Tanner's bachelor party, but at least welcomed enough for a polite conversation. We'll do our best on that wise. But what I really want, and I'm sure if you can do this, but I'm going to give it a shot. Why is the Republican Party so vehemently opposed to D.C. statehood?
Well, it didn't used to be. I mean, the first bill for D.C. statehood was actually written by a Republican member from Iowa back in 1976. So this Republican Party is very different from the Republican Party that years ago, for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's really the Donald Trump Party, and it's changed. But they understand that D.C., well, there's a cycle. Look, Republicans oppose equal rights for D.C. That doesn't exactly enamor the people of D.C. to the Republican Party. So we tend to vote for not a lot of Republicans, not locally, not nationally. And even in D.C., the Republicans tend to be a little bit different. We're one of the few jurisdictions that is sending a Nikki Haley delegation to the Republican convention and not a Donald Trump one. There aren't going to be too many of those. But they don't like how they expect us to vote. It's a large historic African-American community, and you add on that the diversity of our large Latino community, our Asian-American community, and then even what people, you know, vaguely call the so-called white community is still very different. We have a large LGBTQ population. We have a larger than average Jewish population. And so all of the people of D.C. tend to approach it from a legacy of various forms of discrimination one way or another. The Republicans see that as antithetical to their values, which is unfortunate because we're Americans. We want to promote democracy. We want to promote the kind of values that would benefit everybody in the country. And it seems that Republicans like to advocate for smaller and smaller groups of Americans as opposed to the broader communities as a whole. And they're worried that we could begin to change these national votes. We vote differently on women's access to health care. We would probably vote differently on how we allocate budget priorities. All of that may be true, but that's no reason to block our voices.
So what about this argument that D.C. statehood would create a super state with privilege and primacy over each every other state? He said, oh, my God. It's always difficult to respond to something coming out of Texas. I give you that.
You know, it's a false argument. One of the things about our Constitution is that each state comes in on equal footing. And so we kind of have super states in a way. I mean, you want to look at the population of Wyoming. There are 430,000 people in Wyoming. That's a couple of wards in Chicago that have two United States senators and its own member of the House. And at one point, you know, under the Dick Cheney years, Wyoming had three people from the smallest state that would be involved in government in the U.S. Senate. And D.C. has a larger population and had no representation. So, no, it wouldn't be a super state, but it would be a different kind of state. It would be a state that was primarily an urban population, and that threatens a lot of people's idea of how they see the U.S. Senate working. But right now, the U.S. Senate isn't working very well. They're not passing a lot of laws. You know, I used to feel kind of alone and isolated as a shadow senator because I couldn't vote on legislation. Well, right now, there's 100 other shadow senators that aren't voting on legislation because the Senate isn't passing any legislation. So that's a shame. This country has problems that need solving. And we need to get our government working. You have a party that wants to shut the government down. We mm-hmm. want to make government work for everybody.
To your point.
The fact that in D.C., I'll be honest, means that we're a little bit closer to the government, at least geographically, than some others, that a lot of us come from government. A lot of us have worked and see how government works. The fact that we may not be the population that doesn't understand government beliefs, I mean, maybe we don't understand it much better than other folks, but we certainly don't understand it any worse. That could probably be a good thing. You know, why are we always celebrating people that don't know anything about the institutions of government as they get into politics? I mean, look, I wouldn't want to go to a dentist who said, I've never drilled into teeth before, but I'm going to bring a fresh approach to your bridge work as he picks up the drill. I don't want to go to a doctor that says, I've never done surgery, but hand me the scalpel because I've got new ideas. I want to try on your appendix. And yet, when it comes to these important institutions that affect us all, and both parties are guilty of this. You know, there are people that will celebrate folks without experience, without training, without expertise, and get excited about that. And
stop talking about Donald Trump quite like that. I'm just saying. To your point.
But I think you see that. You know, people talk about, hey, we should run Oprah. We should run Oprah. Let's get a TV host of our own. No, let's get an experienced leader in civic and public affairs who understands the complexity to this. That would probably work. I didn't like President George Bush, either one of them. But, you know, they at least had some normal understanding about how democracy works.
They got normal understanding from Prescott Bush.
Yeah. I mean, there were it was just different. You know, you want to have a disagreeing approach on how to manage our government. That's fine. That's what debates are for. That's what democracies are for. But democracies work when all voices are heard. You know, I like music. I know you do, too. I mean, you think of the idea of the symphony orchestra. And suppose, for whatever reason, you tried to kick out the violin players. Well, you're not really punishing the string section so much as you are diminishing the quality and the sound of the music as a whole.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when voices in a country that is supposed to be a democracy are silenced. It diminishes the quality of our debate the same way a symphony without violins diminishes the orchestral sound.
You know, we're gonna have a conversation on the challenge of the media in terms of what continues to look like diversity in news is really a couple of companies owning news stations giving you the same message. However, I want to go back to your earlier point about is D.C. too small? When you consider that in the Washington D.C. there are 700,000 residents, a little more than both Wyoming and Vermont. So if the criteria is number of people, then Vermont has lost its seat.
Well, Vermont, Wyoming, and you know, Delaware, we're comparable to a lot of these smaller states. South Dakota has only one member of the House based on its population.
There's a city called Mitchell, South Dakota. All of you should go and visit my city. But go ahead.
And when you go there, of course, spread the word about D.C. statehood, because South Dakota is one of those places that has slipped. We used to have a good senator that supported it, and they have...
It's my fault. I didn't vote. Listen, music in the background tells it's time to take our final pause for the cause. When the senator comes back, which is going to be our action segment, we're going to have action conversation. What you can do to promote Washington, D.C. statehood at the upcoming convention and for your friends and family. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. We'll be right back after this station break.
It all starts with one meal. One cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's Z-A-K-A-T.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L. Ekena Johnson. On the line, we have Shadow Senator from Washington, D.C., my good dear friend, Senator Paul Strauss. Senator Strauss, welcome back to the show.
That's exciting applause. Thank you.
So listen, this is the action hour. So I've got one action point I want our listeners and our viewers to contemplate, and that is going to hillharper.com. Learn a little more about this lawyer, this union organizer, this actor, single dad, well-known coffee shop entrepreneur in Detroit. He's not a politician, although clearly from graduating from Harvard Law School. He knows it, much like former President Barack Obama, knows a little bit about the Constitution. I'd like you to consider supporting the campaign by going to hillharper.com. Action item number one, support candidates whose voices in the United States Senate resemble your questions, your concerns, and your priorities. Support candidates that, as Senator Strauss would suggest, are all about inclusion for a better democracy. You know, my good friend, Senator, is one of them is Karen Yarbrough. She is the clerk of the County of Cook. While her health is compromised, her wealth of knowledge and wisdom continues to resonate. She reminds us all, democracy is not a spectator sport.
No, that's right. And, you know, the most important title in a democracy isn't president, it's not senator, it's not congressperson, it's citizen. And we are all citizens who have to play our part. Voting isn't just a right, it's a duty. And getting involved in the process isn't just something you get to do, it's something you ought to do, because that's the price we pay for living in a democratic society. And we have seen from the attacks on our democracy by Donald Trump, it is fragile, and we must protect it. And the way we protect it isn't by taking up arms in a militaristic sense, and it is about using the institutions to enrich people and to participate fully at the ballot box and in those steps beyond. So it's not just a November thing. You are right to emphasize that the primaries are important, and even those county committee meetings, your ward committees, getting involved at the party level before the primaries is so important.
Now, listen, I'm going to put you on the spot again, as I regularly do. You know, I am going to hillharper.com, and I'm going to go ahead and put my quarters together and make sure that the good candidate has my name listed as those who put my quarters where my mouth is. And so, Senator, yeah, hillharper.com might be in your feature on today, maybe. I don't know.
I look forward to working with Senator Harper and helping make sure Michigan sends someone who's going to be committed to supporting D.C. State.
I like the way you answer that question, Senator. I really do. Let's go to some other action items. What and how can folk here in Chicagoland, and by the way, we literally have folk listening all around the country. I see we got Bill Griffin from Massachusetts, and that looks like Mr. Toussaint from Texas. I don't know why, brother, in Texas. Yeah, thanks for listening, man. Give all these folks something to talk about, man. Action items.
Well, if you live in one of the 50 states, then you already have two voting U.S. senators. So you need to make sure you understand where those senators are on D.C. State. For the gentleman from Massachusetts, his senators are on board, but you need to emphasize that it needs to be a priority. If you pass a bill for D.C. State, you get two U.S. senators that will then go on to pass other bills for the rest of the country. The gentleman in Texas probably has a little bit more work to do because his two U.S. senators are not with the program. And so it would be great if you could swap them out. There's a bright young man, Colin Allard, that is running to replace Senator Ted Cruz. Boy, what a gift you could give this nation if you could replace Senator Ted Cruz with a Senator Allard. He would be Texas's first African-American senator, and it would have ramifications far beyond the state of Texas. But if you are in the Chicago area, one, tell Senator Durbin to thank him for his support of the bill, but we need to continue to make it a priority. And then look for the activities that we know you're going to help us organize, Reverend, that will focus on educating not just the delegates, but the entire community out there in Illinois about the need for D.C. statehood and its importance to the rest of the country, and join in. And let's make sure we have a successful convention. There will be a nominee for president. There will be a nominee for vice president. These people need to win. We have Democrats from around the country, and we have to stop Donald Trump from taking this country back to some very dark days. And anything you can do to promote unity and a sense of purpose in that regard and raise important issues like D.C. stated, it's going to be important because the eyes of the world will be on Chicago, and we're going to need a unified message to support this administration as we go into this tightly contested national election.
I got a text from Leon Childs down in LaGrange, Georgia. You met Mr. Childs when we last visited with you in Washington, D.C., and he bids me to tell you he is on board. Someone from the great state of Florida is on board. That will be Mr. Leon Childs, and he continues to ask, Rev, ask the senator, what can I do? Because we're on board here in Georgia.
And that's a great example. One, Georgia is an inspiring example of how you can change the political dynamics of the state. For 2 years, Georgia sent two anti-D.C. statehood senators, and now we have two pro-D.C. statehood senators. And so export that great work you've done to places like Texas, to Florida, and show them the example. But continue to fight. Look, Georgia's got a we're not guaranteed to win Georgia again this year. And so the best thing the people of Georgia can do is get everybody out to vote in Georgia and make sure they continue to send progressive leaders who are committed to the freedom for all people and inclusion of all communities.
So,
and we know that when you come with that perspective, you will be in favor of D.C. statehood because it is symbolic of all of those issues.
So Bishop Kimbrough down in Florida, I cannot mention everyone who is calling. So if I do not mention your name, it's not because I'm ignoring you. It's because I only have about 4.5 minutes left. So, Senator, good night. I don't know what I started, man. Okay, Bishop Kimbrough in Florida. Yes. Senator, what can he do?
Yes. We need to get good people elected in Florida. So you don't need to come to Washington to protest. You need to take action in your own state. Help us elect a new senator in Florida. Florida is considered one of our prime pickup opportunities. We know we're going to lose some majority seats, like West Virginia, for example, and we're counting on Florida to be a state where we could pick up and add to the Democratic majority by sending us a Democratic U.S. senator.
You know, your point earlier in the show that the Democrats have a razor-thin edge in the United States Senate, and it's high time that we focus on seats we should be able to win, not with our conversation, but listen, if you can't cast a vote in those states, you can sure enough help these candidates get their messaging out, and that's why we're asking you to support them with your quarters, nickels, dollars, dimes, pennies. They would certainly say dollars. By going to hillharper.com, I'm going there. Why don't you go on and join me? The senator's already told you he's going to go ahead and help Mr. Harper become Senator Harper. And he's looking forward to working with him and the United States Senator. I think Senate, that is. Senator Strauss, any parting words for our listening audience?
I just want to thank you all for getting up with us today and hearing me out. I am excited to come to the Chicago area at this convention. I look forward to meeting so many of you in person. And I know we can count on you, Reverend, to make sure that we are getting to engage with the real community out there as well as the national delegates. Thank you. Your support means so much to me.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. Your friendship has always been consistent. I love you, man, to life. I'm supporting your efforts because they're my efforts as well. Andre Ashmore Jr., I'm calling you out again just one more time. Your cousin needs your dollars, and the U.S. Senator has said you are going to join this young man and making sure that the D.C. statehood is on everyone else's lips as well as ours. Senator Strauss, thank you so very much for joining us on this morning. Have yourself a super fantastic. Don't forget to be grateful, man. Week.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, that was United States Senator Paul Strauss from Washington, D.C. He is the D.C. shadow senator, and we are certainly pleased that he joined us on this morning. I'm pretty clear, based on the number of you all that called, that something he said resonated deep inside you. Remember, taxation without representation is tyranny. So all I'm going to suggest is that D.C. statehood, and not just D.C., but Puerto Rico, all of these localities pay United States taxes, and their lives are impacted by the United States Senate. So we got to do a better job of making sure tyranny is yesterday's conversation, but an inclusive democracy is really what makes the United States better. And according to some of my great friends, we're always better together. This has been the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell Elliott Kenneth Johnson. Looking for you on next week, where I'm going to suggest that Al Kindo and dear Hayden will be here in this seat. I'll be doing something other than, but I'll be around with you. Have a super fantastic and grateful is your calling week.